The scripture for today is relatively familiar. It ought to be familiar to you if you've attended Sunday school classes, if you have endured sermons and things like that over the years. This is a very familiar passage. It is one that has been preached commemorating a number of different occasions, but it seems right and appropriate that we use it today. Today, from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, we'll be reading verses 1 and 2 again. In honor of the authority of the Word of God, will you please stand? Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. God has given us this wonderful gift called memory. But memory can be a double-edged sword, can't it? There are times when things come to you that you don't want to remember. There are things you don't want to remember, yet they come back time and time again, and they prick you. And you are taken back to that hurt or that pain or that tragedy. Memory can, on occasion, hurt. But memory is also the storehouse of great things. Things that cause us to smile are encapsulated in the memory. Things that bring tears of joy to us, even though they may have taken place a long, long time ago. Precious memories, how they linger, says the old song. In the early church, when a person could no longer remember things, when the memory began to slip and leak and fade away, the early church coined a term for that. They called it amnesia, which literally means we have forgotten. And you and I, here today, we live our lives in a place called between memory and tomorrow. That's where we are, between memory and tomorrow. And the challenge for us is to never forget to remember. Today is about remembering and giving thanks to God for those with whom we have brushed elbows and who now have outrun us to the Father's house. Will you pray with me? Speak to our hearts once again, O God, your solemn message of life. Help us to so live our lives and keep in mind that we are writing our legacy each day. Hear our prayer as we give you thanks for your grace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So as word has it, there was a football game once that took place between the big animals and the little animals. It's my understanding that, as you might imagine, the big animals were just destroying the little animals. I mean, the score at halftime between the big animals and the little animals, the score was 70-0 at halftime. And it looked like it was going to be even worse in the second half. This thing could get away from them. It could be 150-0 between the big animals and the little animals. But the second half began, and the big animals got the ball. And on the first play, the big animals gave the ball to the tiger. Well, he dashed into the center of the line and smash. like he hit a brick wall and was stopped dead in his tracks, was the tiger. The tiger limped back to the huddle, and his teammate said, "What happened to you, man?" And he said, "I got hit by the centipede." They said, "Well then, we better give the ball to the lion." So this time they gave the ball to the lion. He let out a kingly roar and tore up the center of the line, and he too hit a stone wall, stopped dead in his tracks. Well, he hobbled back to the huddle, and they said, "What happened to you?" He said, "I got hit by that centipede." And they said, "Okay, fine. Enough fooling around. We're going to give the ball to our biggest and fiercest player. We're going to give the ball to the rhinoceros, the rhino." And so the rhino, huge and fast with that big horn, took the ball and charged toward the center of the line. And just like all the others, he hits a stone wall, stopped dead in his tracks by the centipede once again. Well, the quarterback for the big animals called timeout, walked over to the sideline and said to the coach of the little animals, "Where was that centipede in the first half?" "He was putting on his shoes," said the coach. There are a couple of lessons you can draw from that story, I suppose. One is, it's not how big you are that really matters. The other is, it's not how you start, but how you finish that matters. Finishing strong matters. God has a way, if we will allow Him, of redeeming our lives and helping us finish strong. The language the Bible uses is, He brings beauty from ashes. That's the language of the Bible. It's not how you start, it's how you finish that matters. And the Bible says that we're all supposed to finish as saints of God. That as we live this life, yours and mine, as we're living, God is growing us into His likeness so that we might be made pure and spotless before Him, so that when we draw our last breath on this side of heaven, we're more like Jesus than we've ever been. That's the goal. You know, every Sunday here in this service, we recite the Apostles' Creed, and we did. There's a phrase in it, you say it every Sunday, there's a phrase in it that says, "We believe in the communion of the saints." Did you ever stop to think about what that means? I mean, what is it that we're affirming when we say we believe in the communion of the saints? Well, I think the answer is found in the passage for today. It says, "As for us, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses." In other words, the communion of the saints means that we have this tremendous crowd pulling for us and supporting us. They are what Carlisle Marney called our balcony people, the people in the balcony. And they include each other because we are being made into saints of God, but they also include our loved ones who have died and who now are part of that great crowd, the balcony people. Because, you see, the communion of the saints is not limited to time or space or even eternity. So we are surrounded by this great crowd of witnesses. And today I simply want to take a few moments and offer a couple of thoughts about that. Here's the first thing I want you to hear. When we remember the ways our loved ones blessed us, they bless us still. When you think about the person you love, persons you've loved, when you think about those who have died and the special experiences, the special memories, when you remember that, you are blessed again and again and again. Again, the old song is, precious memories. When you remember your loved ones, you are blessed. I often say at celebrations of life, if I only had a nickel for every time I heard people say, "Do you remember when? Do you remember when? Do you remember when?" Some of you in this room today will recognize the name Catherine Wyndham. Catherine Wyndham was one of the great storytellers in all the world. And if you know anything at all about Catherine Wyndham, you know that when they would have storytelling conventions all over America, she was always invited because Catherine Wyndham was one of the best at what she did. Her specialty was ghost stories. Did you know? Perhaps you did. Catherine Wyndham grew up in Thomasville, Alabama. Catherine Wyndham used to tell the story about her father, a very fine man named Mr. Tucker. Mr. Tucker was the president of the bank. He was the men's Bible class Sunday school teacher at the Thomasville Methodist Church. Very fine and honorable man was Mr. Tucker. And Catherine Wyndham said, "I had the kind of relationship with him that all children ought to have with their fathers. I always wanted to make him proud, but I always was a little bit afraid. I didn't want to cross him." There was a lot of respect there. But Catherine Wyndham told about going off to college. She was a brilliant lady. And the first semester, she made excellent grades, except in French. She took French. It had never been offered at Thomasville High School. She took French, and she failed French. She wrote, and I quote, "So far as I knew, no one in my family had ever failed at anything, and I was sure I had brought shame upon my family. I was especially concerned about Dad's reaction, and to make matters worse, the weekend after the grades went out to parents, I was scheduled to come home for the first time. I got off the train," this was a long time ago, "I got off the train," she said, "and Daddy wasn't there. Mama was there, other relatives were there, they greeted me. They didn't act as though I had brought disrepute upon the family, but they didn't mention grades. We walked on up the hill toward the house, and in the living room on the mantel," she said, "I saw an envelope from Huntington College. It had been opened, and I knew they knew. I knew they knew about my grades, but still nobody mentioned it. Daddy got home, and he was warm and friendly, but he didn't mention the grades. And all the way through supper we ate, nobody talked about grades, and the longer the subject was postponed, the more apprehensive I got, because I knew that subject was going to come up at some point. And after supper, we went back into the living room, and we took our places, and I saw Daddy look up there at that envelope, and I thought, here it comes." She said, "He filled his pipe, and he took a while to light it, something he always did before a significant announcement. Then he settled down in his chair, and Daddy said this, 'Well, I went to Grove Hill today, and to Jackson, to Walker Springs, and to Watley, and to Gosport, and everywhere I went, people were speaking English, not French. That's all my dad ever said about my French grade, and I passed the next course just fine.'" As a postscript to that story, her dad died a few months after that, but she would say, moments like that propelled me forward in life. When we remember how our loved ones blessed us, they still do bless us. Here's another truth I want to hear you to hear this morning. And I think it really is more in line with our purpose, and it is this. They have marched on into glory, but they're with us still. The saints, our loved ones who've gone on to heaven, they've gone there, but they're with us still. Now, hang with me here. I think that's what the phrase, the communion of the saints, means. It means that they're communing with us in a way we don't understand. It means that they're encouraging us in a way we don't even understand. The image here is of a great crowd leaning over the balcony saying to us, don't give up. Don't quit. Hang on. Keep on. Don't quit now. Listen, I don't know if any of what I'm about to say is going to make any sense to you. I'm not even sure, Josh, if it's actually theologically all that sound. But my father died 31 years ago. And I can still hear him talk to me today. Does anybody understand that? My mother died May the 20th of this year. And I can still see her and hear her. And it keeps me straight as I can be kept. Now, will you remember what I'm about to say, please? Please remember this. Never, ever judge anybody or anything by the worst example of them. There are some people who have a hard time and painful things that are related to people that they thought loved them and they didn't love them like they ought to be loved. There are people who have a hard, hard time with that. Let me invite you to release them because you need to live. And I want to invite you to thank God for the strength you have because of how you've grown from them. Because sometimes, dear friends, the greatest gifts we receive emerge from difficulty and pain. Don't you know that? So as we recall them today and we give thanks to them, I want you to remember that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. They're here, but they're also beyond us. And we give thanks to God for their lives. And in the words of the old song, will the circle be unbroken? The circle will never, never be unbroken. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.